Verse 13, do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of the lands? Here's the ego. Were the Elohim of the nations of the lands able at all to deliver the hand from my hand? Who was there among all the Elohim of those nations, which my fathers utterly destroyed, who could deliver his people out of my hand, that your Elohim should be able to deliver you from my hand? He sounds an awfully lot like Pharaoh in Exodus 5, doesn't he? Who is Yahweh? I don't know Yahweh, and I'm not going to let his people go. Now therefore, verse 15, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you like this, and do not believe him. For no Elohim of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your Elohim deliver you from my hand? But he's messing with the wrong group this time, brethren. Because this time he's messing with Hezekiah, who was a righteous man. And with Isaiah, Yahweh's prophet. His servant spoke further against Yahweh Elohim and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to insult Yahweh Elohim of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the Elohim of the nations of the lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the Elohim of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. They called this out with a loud voice in the language of Judah to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall, to frighten and terrify them so that they might take the city. They spoke of the Elohim of Jerusalem as of the Elohim of the peoples of the earth, the work of men's hands, and seeing as men see. But King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. And Yahweh sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land. And when he had entered the temple of his Elohim, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. So much for his might and the might of his fathers. So Yahweh saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. And many were bringing gifts to Yahweh at Jerusalem and choice presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations thereafter. So Yahweh, brethren, destroys Sennacherib and his Assyrian army. Another set of giants put out of commission. Once again, Yahweh delivers his people from the might of an army greater than theirs, from apparently insurmountable odds. You know, in 2 Kings 19:35, we won't turn to it, but you can put it in your notes. 2 Kings 19:35, it tells us that there were, and that's the parallel account of this situation. It tells us that there were 185,000 Assyrian soldiers killed by the angel of Yahweh. 185,000. That's almost, it's a little bit short, it's almost a quarter of a million people killed in one night. Judah did not have to lift a finger, brethren. Of course, we can compare this to Egypt when Yahweh broke the back of Pharaoh and delivering Israel from his hand. And you could again reference Exodus 5 and Exodus 10, 3 through 7. And at some point, his own advisors come to him and say, when are you going to do something about this? Don't you know yet that Egypt is destroyed? But only at the very end did Pharaoh, in his stubbornness, only at the very end did he understand, finally, that the fate of individuals and even entire nations is not in the hands of men, but rather in the hands of the Elohim of heaven and earth, the only true and Elohim, Yahweh. Brothers and sisters and friends, we tend to only see with our eyes what is in front of us. If you had been an army, a soldier in the army of Hezekiah, one of the people listening to this mockery coming at you, well, how would you have been at that time? You probably would have been afraid. Surrounded by 185,000 people? That's with the prospect of you being destroyed? And if you think, some of these movies where you see people behind the walls and you see the armies around them, that's a pretty frightful thing to even see it on film, much less to contemplate being in the midst of reality. Brothers and sisters, we must see with the eyes of faith, the vision being within our hearts of things not yet seen. But we know that they are there. But we also know that Yahweh will give us the strength to get past them. Elisha was a man who had such vision. And I've used this before. I'd like to turn to it again. 2 Kings verse 6. 2 Kings 6, beginning with verse 8. Now the king of Aram, and the Arameans were Syrians, by the way. Now the king of Aram, 2 Kings 6:8, the king of Aram was warring against Israel. And he counseled with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And this, of course, is years before the situation that I just described to you. The man of Elohim sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there. The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of Elohim had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. So in other words, every time the king of Aram said, go attack Israel in such and such a place, Yahweh told Elisha. And Elisha went and told the king of Israel so that they would not go by that place, so that they wouldn't be ambushed and have a loss. Verse 11, now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing. He called his servants and he said to them, will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, he figured every time I send someone, they know we're here. So there's got to be a traitor amongst us. It's got to be an inside job, right? And it wasn't. And one of his servants said, no, my master, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.